Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Vidura Talks with Maitreya, Text Number 10. Para Avaresham Bhagavan Ratani Shutani Me Vyasa Mukat Abhikshnam Adripnuma Shulya Sukha Avahanam Tesham Vrite Krishna Kata Amrita Ogat Parevare Paravaresham Bhagavan Vritani Shutani Me Vyasa Mukhat Abhikshnam Atripnuma Shula Sukhava Hanam Tesham Rite Krishna Katam Ritau Gat Para higher Avaresham of these lower Bhagavan, O my Lord, O great one, Britani occupations, Shutani heard, May by me, Vyasa, Mukhat from the mouth, Abhikshnam repeatedly, Tripnuma, I am satisfied. Shula, little. Sukha, Avahanam, that which causes happiness. Tesham, out of that. Prite, without. Krishna Kata talks about the personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna, Amrita, Ogat, from the nectar. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, I have repeatedly heard about these higher and lower statuses of human society in the mouth of Vyasadeva, and I'm quite satiated with all these lesser subject matters and their happiness. They have not satisfied me with the nectar of topics about Krishna. Purport. Because people are very much interested in hearing social and historical presentations, Srila Vyasadeva has compiled many books, such as the Puranas and Mahabharata. These books are reading matter for the mass of people, and they were compiled with a view to reviving their God consciousness, now forgotten in the conditional life of material existence. The real purpose of such literatures is not so much to present topics of historical references, but to revive this people's sense of God consciousness. For example, Mahabharata is a history of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and common people read it because it is full of topics regarding the social, political, and economic problems of human society. But factually, the most important part of Mahabharata is Bhagavad Gita, which is automatically taught to readers along with the historical narrations of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Vidura explained to Maitreya his position of being fully satiated with the knowledge of mundane social and political topics, and having no more interest in them. He was anxious to hear transcendental topics regarding Lord Sri Krishna. Because there were insufficient topics directly concerning Krishna and the Puranas, Mahabharata, etc., he was not satisfied and wanted to know more about Krishna. Krishna Katha, or topics regarding Krishna, are transcendental. There is no satiation in hearing such topics. Bhagavad Gita is important on account of its being Krishna Katha, or speeches delivered by Lord Krishna. The story of the Battle of Kurukshetra may be interesting to the mass of people, but to a person like Vidura, who is highly advanced in devotional service, only Krishna Katha and that which is dovetailed with Krishna Katha is interesting. Vidura wanted to hear of everything from Maitreya, and so he inquired from him, but he desired that all the topics be in relationship with Krishna. As fire is never satisfied in its consumption of firewood, so a pure devotee of the Lord never hears enough about Krishna. Historical events and other narrations concerning social and political incidents all become transcendental as soon as they are in relationship with Krishna. That is the way to transform mundane things into spiritual identity. The whole world can be transformed into Vaikuntha if all worldly activities are dovetailed with Krishna Katha. There are two important Krishna Kathas current in the world, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna Katha because it's spoken by Krishna, whereas Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna Katha because it narrates about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advised all his disciples to preach Krishna Katha all over the world without discrimination, because the transcendental value of Krishna Katha can purify one and all from material contamination. Paravaresham Bhagavan Vritani Sutani me vyasa mukhar abhikshnam Adripnuma shula sukhavahanam Tesham rite Krishna katam ritogat. O my Lord, I have repeatedly heard about these higher and lower statuses of human society from the mouth of Vyasadeva. I am quite satisfied with all these lesser subject matters and their happiness. They have not satisfied me with the nectar of topics about Krishna. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pradistaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vajarane Nirvishesha Shindavadi Vastakatya De Siddharna. As we've read earlier in the first canto, that after compiling the Mahabharata, the Puranas, the four Vedas, that Srila Vyasadeva was feeling some dissatisfaction. And therefore, his spiritual master, Narada Muni, had to find out the problem that was in his heart, and its conclusion was explained that he had not sufficiently glorified Krishna. Tadva gvishsago janataga viplavo yadvachas chitra padam harir yasho jagat paritam parigriha karichish tadvayasam tiritam ushanti manasa niryatra hangsa niramankyu shikshaya. That those words which don't glorify the personality of Godhead, whose glories can at once purify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are said to be like places of pilgrimage unto the crows. The all-perfect persons, they don't find any pleasure there because they're resonance of the transcendental abode. That there are two types of energies known as Daivi Maya. One is Bahir Antaranta Shakti, and the other is Antaranta Shakti. So Bahir Antaranta Shakti, the illusory potency, by which the conditioned soul thinks many things which are incorrect. One thinks that there is something separate from Krishna. Under the illusory energy, one identifies oneself with the body, one identifies oneself as the doer of the activities, one thinks that one is gaining things and losing things. There are so many misconceptions under the illusory energy. Whoever gets the water, if you get so many Tulsi leaves, then it's impossible to drink it. Who got the water? Disappear. Oh, you have. So So these things are all misconceptions. Mostly it's idam adyam ayalabha imam prapse manoratam idam astiyam apime bhavishati punardhanam aso maya hatak shatrur hanimshe chaparam api ishvaraham ahambhogi siddham balavan suki adyo vi dhanavanasmi kanyo sti sadrishamaya yakshe dasyami modisya ityagyana vimohita. So those in the mode of ignorance, those who don't understand things properly, they have certain thoughts. So we have to see how much, to what degree do we have these thoughts. Not that all of us were transcendental. Yes, we're transcendental, but our thoughts may not be so transcendental. So we have to judge what is our thoughts. We actually have to examine what we're doing. That's called Buddha Yoga. Not that merrily, 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 life is but a dream. No, we have to make some judgment. We have to analyze, we have critically our own consciousness and then see what is correct or to what degree it's correct and what is actually reality. Bhagavad Gita says, generally we think, so much wealth do I have today? And I'll gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine, and I'll get more and more in the future. So how much are we concerned? How much do I have now? And how much happy do we think we'll be if we get a little bit more in the future? Now I have 6 feet to lie down on when I take rest, but when I get a little bit more prominent in the society, they'll give me 12 feet to lie down. How much happier I'll be. Now I'm eating 6 chapatis, and when I get a little bit stronger, 8, I'll be in bliss. So much I have today, and I'll gain more according to my schemes. He is my enemy. All the people who don't like me, who are obstacles for my gain in the material world, they're my enemies. I have killed them. If I can't kill them physically, I'll splash them with my words. Let everyone know the truth about this person. They appear to be a devotee, but actually they're a demon in disguise because they don't love the pure devotee, me. So many enemies I've killed, I've slashed them to pieces with my words. Their reputation is finished. So many enemies I've killed, and my other enemies will also be killed. Let this enemy serve as an example for all my other enemies. You dare confront me? Well, this is the result. See him hanging from the prasadam room rafter. Or if I can't hang him physically, at least the devotee's reputation is finished. And so I am the Lord of everything. Everything I have is mine. Ishvaraham aham. I am the Lord. Ishvaraham aham bogi. And everything I have, not only it's mine, but I'm enjoying it like anything. I'm deriving great satisfaction, pleasure from all the things I have. Siddham. I am perfect. Everything I do is divine. It's a pastime. Only those who are surrendered to me can understand my leelas and appreciate them and derive great pleasure from them too. Siddham Balavan Suki. And I'm very powerful. By my influence, everyone is becoming surrendered to me. Everyone is becoming more appreciative of me. I am powerful. I have all the opulences of wealth and strength and beauty and fame and renunciation. I am such a great personality. Even I can't understand all my glories. I'm trying to expand my knowledge so I can understand just how wonderful I actually am. And I'm surrounded by so many other wonderful people because anyone who associates with me, they also become wonderful. That's why my association. As soon as I entered into the Hare Krishna movement, then everything became even more wonderful due to my association. Things were wonderful due to Krishna's association. But when I entered, then even Krishna was amazed. How wonderful things became. Asomaya takshatra. Asomaya adya vijanavan asmi konyosti sadrisho maya. Yakshe, I'll do a little sacrifice to Asyami, I'll give some charity. Therefore I'll go to the heavenly planets, and there everyone, I'll even be even more wonderful in the future. There there'll be so many apsaras to dance with me. So now things are wonderful, and even though they'll even be more wonderful in the material world. So this is called ignorance. Although we think, well, that sounds great. He's really getting it together. But he's entering into ignorance because we're not the body. No matter how wonderful we think the material world is, but Krishna says, "Tu kaliyama shasvatam." In other words, even the narrations in the Puranas of Indra surrounded by all the demigods, and Indra at his personal whim and beck and call are all these beautiful apsaras. Even Indra is said to be suffering in the material world. Yes, to Indra Gopam Apavendra Mahosu Karma Bandhanu Rupam Bhajitam Anoti Karmadi Kintu Chabhat Bhakti Bhajam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahangujami. That even Indra is such a wonderful position. So all the mystic powers, wonderful warrior, all these ladies, they're all chanting Jai Indra. All the demigods bow down at his feet, the sun god, the moon god, everyone. But even he's suffering. That he has to grow old, he has to die. He's always in anxiety, who's going to attack him next, who's going to take over his heavenly planet, whether it's some sage who's going to curse him, someone who's going to perform some sacrifice, and he's going to get kicked out of his post. Oh, Andrew's always in anxiety about the future. And finally, he does get kicked out of his post. And it's all over for Indra. And one day he's Indra, next day he's the Indra Gopajerm. Still Indra, but he's an Indra Gopajerm. Indra Gopajerm is about the size of a period in a book. So he went from Indra to the size of a period in one of our books. But still people want to hear about how Indra's enjoying. But Indra's not enjoying. Indra's also suffering unless he's a devotee. As much as he's a devotee, as much as he's meditating on Krishna, to that extent, he's in a good position. And to as much as extent as he thinks he's Indra, then he's just like the rest of us, faced with the cycle of birth and death and all the problems of material existence. But the Mahabharata, the Puranas, the Vedas, they're full of narrations glorifying Indra, Agni, Kubera, Surya, how wonderful their positions are and how much they're enjoying, and therefore people become attracted. So what is the purpose? Why is Srila Vyasadeva? He's given us so many instructions just to mislead us. It's not that we're not misled enough. So why is he writing all these things if ultimately we're supposed to give them up? If they're not so interesting to the devotees? Well, the example is that Vyasadeva himself is morose. So if the author is morose, generally if we write something, we want to show it to everyone. And everyone becomes very, our friends all become very happy to read it, and our enemies all become morose after reading. But Vyasadeva, after spending a long time, compiling all this literature, he was morose. He'd read his books and get a headache. And yet he wants us to go out and sell them. So what is the problem? The problem is that it's not connected with Krishna. Therefore, it's simply an interplay of the five gross and three subtle elements, which has no pleasure in it, but because these five gross elements and three subtle elements are always changing, therefore there is no permanency to them. They're just a play of the illusory energy. They're part of the shadow of Maya. Chayeva yasya vibhavarti Durga. That Durga is the shadow of Krishna, and the external energy is just an interplay of Maya's energies. Therefore, those who are actually saintly persons, they don't derive any real pleasure from these things. But if they're in connection with Krishna, that's reality. Everything is in connection with Krishna. There's nothing really separate from Krishna. It's not that there is something going on separate from Krishna, but when we hear philosophy or stories that are separate from Krishna, then we may think this story is separate from Krishna. That's the problem. Indra, Krishna says, yo yam 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 tanu bhakta, shadi arjitam ich chami, tasya tasya charam shadam, tam eva vididham yaham. That I am in everyone's heart as a super soul, and as soon as one desires to worship some demigod, then I make his face steady so he can devote himself to some particular deity. Indra is able to control the clouds and produce rain only because Krishna is in his heart, giving him the intelligence and giving him the authority and the power to do so. Indra is simply another instrument for Krishna. Indra may think so, and he may not think so. And we may think so, and we may not think so. Therefore, the most auspicious narrations is first of all to understand how things are, and then if one understands how things are, then one will not become bewildered by the illusory energy, even after seeing or hearing so-called ordinary things. One will understand that the background behind everything is Krishna. But there's a process by which we can understand how the background behind everything is Krishna, and the most important process is to hear Krishna Katha. Now, if we only hear about Krishna Katha in the terms of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, then because of our insufficient advancement in Krishna consciousness, we'll even think Krishna's pastimes with his ever-liberated associates in the spiritual world, we may think they're ordinary also, because of our lack of depth in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the first Krishna Katha that's recommended is we should hear about Krishna's creation, his maintenance, and his annihilation of this cosmic creation. Because that's the Krishna Katha. Those are the pastimes we're currently taking part in. Those are the pastimes that we've been experiencing since time immemorial. So we have to understand these pastimes properly. And therefore, what is the aim of understanding these pastimes? It's ultimately to become detached from these pastimes. To gain an understanding so we can see that I'm not the doer, that I'm not the control, I'm not the enjoyer, I'm not the controller, that all these things are false conception, ahamkar. To learn, that's called detachment. That before one can actually begin the process of surrender to Krishna, one must begin the process of detaching oneself from material illusion. Nirmana moha dita sanga dosha adhyatmin ityavani vritta kama dvandvaiva mukha sukaduka sangar gachant yamuda padam avyamta. That those who are free from what? Nirmana moha. So, pride. Everyone is proud in the material world. We're walking around in a bubble of pride. See me, how beautiful I am, how intelligent I am, how clever I am, how many things I am. But actually we're none of these things. The only thing we can be proud of is that somehow or another, by the mercy of my spiritual master and by the mercy of Krishna, I become somewhat of an instrument. Although reluctant as I am to surrender, do anything for Krishna, somehow or another it's happening, despite my causeless unwillingness, that let it happen. But still, Krishna is somehow or another using him as an instrument. Although I got tricked into becoming a devotee, and I still don't want to become a devotee, still somehow or another, my spiritual master, by his mercy in Krishna, I'm still, this body somehow or another, going on in devotional service. So we should be proud how wonderful our spiritual master is in Krishna, how wonderful Prabhupada is, that despite that I have no attraction to Krishna consciousness, and still, somehow or another, I've been tricked to utilizing this body, my mind and my words in Krishna's service. And even though I don't want to really make any advancement, I want to stay here and rot in the material world. I want to see the end of Kali Yuga, just to be sure that actually the scriptures are true. But still, Krishna is dragging me back to the spiritual world. This is called Nirmana Moha. This pride is due to illusion. Prabhupada explains, we come here for a brief moment and still we try to make all the arrangements as we like them. It's just like you take a trip and you drive into a gas station and you go into the bathroom. You see the bathroom. Well, it's not very clean. So you spend 3 hours cleaning the bathroom. You get done with your business in the bathroom and then you leave. So what was the good of cleaning the bathroom? What did you gain from it? It was a very important experience for you. Clean the bathroom, make sure everything was completely perfect. But actually you didn't gain anything. Simply trying to make all the arrangements in this material world so everything is very nice for our stay here. It's just like trying to make a nice arrangement for the bathroom. But the real goal is to get out of the bathroom, not to try and make a nice arrangement in it. Do the business in the bathroom and then try and get out of it as quickly as possible. So it's due to illusion that we're proud. We're walking around thinking, oh, I'm so nice, so great, everything is going so nicely for me, and the future will even get nicer because I'm such a nice person. This bubble of illusion I'm walking around in is the best bubble of illusion I've ever seen. But this is called Maya. Nirmana, Moha, Jita, Sangha. And due to this Maya we walk around in, everything connected with this bag that we're walking around in, we think everyone who loves this bag, they're my relatives. My mother got to love my bag because, you know, it's an expansion of her bag. Therefore she says, oh, how cute your little bag is. She loves me, and my father loves me, and my relatives love me. My countrymen, they all love me. Everything connected with this body, I have some affection for. But this is all false illusion. This is what binds us to the material world, all these false affections. Because on the basis of these false affections, I'm engaged in so many false activities, serving all these false conceptions. So one has to get rid of these false affections. Then one can tolerate adhyatma nitya. Then one has to cultivate spiritual knowledge. That is, and then to understand what is actually my own and what doesn't actually belong to me, how everything actually belongs to Krishna, how Krishna is giving me certain things to be utilized in his service. And then one can actually begin the process of surrender to Krishna. It is not just surrender to Krishna so easy. As long as one materially is affected, we can't surrender. Now we may say, well, I'm already surrendered. Just see me. I have a shaven head, mostly shaven. And I have a sikha, I have a dhoti on or a sari, and I'm here in class. I'm surrendered. What more do they want from me? What more can they ask without trying to lord it over me? But actually the process of surrender is not so easy because it's blocked by these pride, especially our pride, and then our illusion. In order to maintain my pride, I have to feed my illusion. Because otherwise they keep on hammering to me, I'm not this body, I can't take credit for anything. I'll get depressed. So my illusion has to expand itself. As I'm hearing all this philosophy, my illusion expands just to make sure that my false pride is not completely demolished. And then I have to give up my affections for my parents, my mother, my father, my sister, my brothers, my pet dog. I mean, my pet dog, every time I saw it, it licked me. It loved me. My pet parakeet would sing every time it saw me. I mean, people do have love in the material world. You people are not so dry and cruel that you don't think there's any love here at all. That's what I don't like about these people. You're so skeptical and pessimistic, and you have no feelings or emotions. You say everything is Maya. There's no love in the world. That's because you're all, you know, so dry and austere. You don't know what love is. Therefore, you criticize everyone else for their love and affection. But one has to give up this false affection. Then one can understand things properly. And then what is the symptom of understanding things properly? So that we can begin to make some advancement. One can tolerate the dualities of material existence. The happiness and distress. Not that I'm unhappy. Everyone should know about it. I'm unhappy. Let the whole world know about it. And sympathize. Oh, you poor kid. Oh, don't be unhappy. What can we do to make you happy? Or, I'm happy. Everyone should know about it. Everyone should also rejoice. Rejoice with me. I'm rejoicing. Increase my rejoicing. No, tolerate happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, all these different dualities. Then one can actually begin to surrender to Krishna. Because one is above the material energy, then one can actually focus one's mind upon Krishna and find out what Krishna wants us to do. Devotional service. Therefore, for a devotee, a neophyte devotee, or any devotee, the greatest impediment is usually thinking that we're already surrendered. Or that this is my line, I've drawn it. It's right here. I don't step over this line. I've surrendered enough. And if there's not enough prasadam, or it's not the type I like, and people don't like me, or I don't have the right service, then I take 5 steps back. Just see. Be careful. No, as soon as we draw the line, I've made so much advancement, I can't even believe what I'm doing. I'm so advanced. I have so many realizations. I'm such a loving servant. I'm such a, you know, powerful personality in the society. That as soon as we think like that, then our advancement stops. And then we become absorbed in loving this illusion, this so-called identity that we think we have, that is us. So one has to check constantly. And it's not like it's so unobvious. We can check everyone, we can see very obviously everyone else's pride. We can see everyone else's illusions they're under, their material attachments. We can understand how they're in ignorance of real spiritual values, how they're upset over the dualities, how they're agitated by the dualities of material existence, how they're not really making any spiritual advancement. We can see that clearly in everyone. So clearly in everyone, we have no time to see it within ourselves. But if we want to make spiritual advance in ourselves, then we have to check these things ourselves. How much pride do I have? How much am I being affected by the modes of material nature? How much is the piercing within our heart increasing? Or how much is it actually becoming purified? Therefore, these literatures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, deal directly with these issues. And they put Krishna there at the same time. They may talk about the demigods, but they talk about how the demigods are suffering as well as how they're enjoying. And they talk about how the demigods are Krishna's servants. It's all in relation with Krishna and with the true picture of material existence. So if we understand these things properly, then we can make tangible process in the actual process, or progress in the actual process of real actually surrendering to Krishna. Then just like Vidura, we can take great transcendental pleasure in our relation with Krishna simply by hearing about Krishna. Otherwise, all these other topics we may be interested in, they're considered to be a waste of time. So Vidura at least reached the stage. He was not interested in such mundane topics. He was only interested in Krishna Katha. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes. Love is direct. Love means, according to Bhishmadeva, love is when one gives one's complete surrender to Krishna. That's called love. When one's complete attention and activities or everything is focused on one person, namely Krishna. Prema. Prema is, as prema, if you want to understand prema, then you understand, then we have to understand Shraddha, Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Ruchi, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and then prema. So if you want to understand prema, then you can understand its components, the different stages of it. For prema means, basically, when one's fully giving one's heart to Krishna, just like the gopis, without any expectation of return. That's explained in, by Rupa Goswami in his Parivasa Sutra of Nectar and Devotion. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmidavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. So, prema, or pure devotional service, is defined. All activities are done exactly what Krishna wants us to do, according to the previous authorities, and only to please Krishna. And there is no, even whatever activity we're doing, there's no desire on our part for anything but Krishna's pleasure. And any activity that we're doing, if it's karma yoga or jnana, it's done according to how Krishna would want us to do it. Well, the main quality is desire to do what Krishna wants in such a way as to please him. Yeah, well, that's, if you want to define selflessness like that, only for Krishna. Yes.
Desiring Krishna's mercy, is there a conditional love?
For Krishna's mercy?
Yeah.
Oh, Krishna is giving his mercy to everyone, according to our desire. What do you mean by condition? You mean you think Krishna is like, he's going to fulfill all our desires? Let's hope not. Desire to please him? If you have a desire to please him, then he's pleased by that desire to please him. If we're chanting so we can develop more of a desire to please him. I don't think we should. Yeah, probably is. Krishna is pleased just by our love. So we're not really this idea, in our particular stage, desiring to get something to please him better is probably a little dangerous. In other words, we already have everything to please him. And if we simply utilize this, whatever Krishna has already given us, then that will please him. It's not that he doesn't know what we need. That if we need something, he'll bring it to us. But if we really examine ourselves, even what we have already, we're not utilizing fully to please him. So why should he give us more? Just make this situation more confusing. First, learn to utilize what we have already. And then when we do, we can utilize what we have already, then Krishna will give us more. That's the idea. If we do. We want to see every affection is all right. But ultimately everything is Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna. So that we want to realize. The love that we have for a particular individuals, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we'll have the same love for everyone. But it'll be much more expanded. But as long as our affection is limited to something material, our material conception, then it doesn't expand. It just remains very limited. It ultimately disappoints us. But when our loving propensity is dovetailed in Krishna's service, then we realize how everything, there's nothing but Krishna. And and Krishna is reciprocating with us in so many different ways. And as we be able to understand how we're actually, everything is Krishna, then our love is able to expand more and more. And the love we feel towards others will give us happiness, and people's reciprocation will give us happiness too. And Krishna being happy, that happiness is unlimited. It's one of the ingredients. It's the first ingredient. And pride is due to illusion. So because we misidentify ourselves with something that we're not, therefore we have so many topics to hear and chant about in relation to our false identity. And we like to talk about these topics because they give us some pleasure, because they're in relationship either to the things that we love in the material world or the things that we dislike. But when one can cultivate real understanding, then our topics will be much more in relation to Krishna. We may talk about the same things, but they'll be talked about in relation with Krishna.
That's stronger.
Makes his desires stronger. He fulfills it.
Krishna also purifies the material desire. Why does he always fulfill his desire?
Doesn't know. Well, because that's how the material world works. But here in the material world, people are not interested in Krishna. They're interested in the material desire. So Krishna doesn't force us to love him. So he reciprocates here as Paramatma. According to what we're desiring, he makes arrangements. We desire his son enough. If we desire something, we have to find out the bona fide, the authorized method, the scientific way of fulfilling our desires. So one of the scientific ways is that there is a process called demigod worship, which is explained by the authorized literature. So if we follow the procedures for demigod worship, which is not possible in this age because people don't have the capacity to worship the demigods properly. But if we do that, we go through all the trouble and perform the sacrifices meant to please the demigods, then the result is that Krishna within the heart of the demigod reciprocates. Krishna reciprocates with us through the demigod, because we followed his instructions in the authorized literature. So Krishna reciprocates. But our aim was not Krishna, it was some benediction from a demigod. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Pur Premanande.